thanks. I was pressing red, I thought was for off. Amen. Good morning. So the five-minute foundation this morning is being filled with the Spirit. And I know for a lot of folks, they start hearing being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues and all the things related to praise and worship, and that's not what this one's about this morning. That's next week. This morning is about just being filled with the Spirit. So there's a lot of, you can go to different churches and there's debate about what the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is. But no matter where you go, there's no disagreement in the body of Christ of how wonderful it is to be filled with the Spirit. Whatever comes with that is for next week, and I won't be here. I did that one last time, and it's actually one of my favorite ones. I wish I was here to do it again. Do not be drunk with wine. What an analogy. Is there anything related to being filled with the Spirit that might look like being drunk with wine? That's something to think about, right? Maybe when you get filled with the Spirit, maybe it loosens you up a little bit. You know, who knows? Maybe it's something else. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I give every one of you permission to speak to me in psalms if you ever want to, or to speak to me with songs if you ever want to. I'm game for that. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So, two main things I'd like to communicate this morning. One of them is that maybe there's something about being filled with the Spirit that makes you want to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, right? That's a great thing. Hot dog. Wouldn't it be nice to walk around always wanting to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord? It's related to being filled with the Spirit. Okay. Three things to note. This is to all. You can debate forever whether everybody should speak in tongues or not. I mean, the Bible does say, I would that you all spoke in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, it's written right there in black and white. But that's next week, all right? For this week, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Being filled with the Spirit is for everybody. So don't, if you have any doubt, that when you gave your life to Jesus, that He didn't come to live inside of you, cast that doubt out this morning. You are filled with the Spirit if you've given your life to Jesus. And when I'm at the end, I'm going to say something about how important that is. Okay, the second one. This is an imperative, right? It's not a suggestion. It's an imperative. It's all the time for everybody who's called upon the name of the Lord. And it's a verb of ongoing action. So it's be continually being filled with the Spirit. It's not just a moment in time. It's a continual thing. I would say it's more like the gas tank in your car than anything else. That's probably the best analogy. You keep the gas tank full, and the car has plenty of energy to go out and, you know, do whatever a car needs to do. You want to be ready to go out and do whatever God needs you to do, wants you to do, be filled with the Spirit. It's so foundational and so important. Okay, I lost my spot. When we come to Christ, the Bible tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit, and you can look it up. These are five-minute foundations, so we won't read all the verses. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So those three verses just touch briefly on some deep, profound things related to, you know, biblical truth. Explore them when you can. They're really fun to explore. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verses 30 and 31. Stretch out your hand. This is what the apostles were praying, talking to Lord after a little bit of a tough day. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then it says, after they prayed, this is all believing people, right? These are believing people who are praying this prayer. They were already saved. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. So these are the same people who were already saved at Pentecost and filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, all that radical, crazy Pentecostal stuff. That's wonderful. But, okay, how do we get filled? And I want to read the verse first. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So there's three things. Simply believe. Sometimes it's tough to believe what the Bible says because some of the things the Bible says seem unbelievable. You know, that God can provide, that he can heal, that he can cleanse you of your sin. I mean, these are big, big things. But believe it. If God said it, it's worth believing. As a matter of fact, and this is not in the notes, sometimes, I don't want to use the word fun because that sounds a little bit shallow, but sometimes it's fun to find the Bible verses that are hardest to believe and take a hold of them and see what happens when you start to believe. If God said it, it's true. I think we all know that. So just believe. Ask. Don't be shy. Ask. God, I feel I need a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit today. Guess what he'll do? He'll probably give you a fresh filling of Holy Spirit. And then just receive it. Oh, but I didn't feel any different. That's all right. Oh, I'm not thinking any different right now than I was 30 seconds before when I asked for it. Just believe, ask, receive. Okay, here's the most important thing for this morning. If you can live your life understanding that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, that in and of itself is a game changer. It'll change the way you approach temptation. It'll change the way you approach God. You can feel closer because you are closer. If you can live your life just with the understanding that the Holy Spirit isn't just some force out there, but that the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of you and that the relationship between you and God can't be any closer. I mean, how much closer can you get than living inside you, right? It'll have an effect on the way you look at everything else in your life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And next week, somebody talk about praying in tongues. All right. Thanks.
In my life, Lord, be
in this place, Lord.
Father, we thank you today for the grace that you give for us, that we can glorify you, that we can bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we thank you for it. Be glorified in the house of the Lord today. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Anyone have a testimony today? Anyone want to share something that God has done for you?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we knew we had to get Tony in to have his eyes checked. And I called and asked them if there would be any openings before the end of the year. They said, oh, no, we're booked until January. I said, okay. And she said, but you can call back to see if there's a cancellation. I said, okay. It wasn't even 10 minutes And phone rang. She called me back and said, we have an opening. Can he be here such and such a day and time? And I said, sure. So God even answers the little prayers.
Little ones, big ones. You know what? Sometimes the answers to the little ones are really important.
Okay, I've been sick with bladder infections for years, since like 2002. And every week, and it was awful. Anyhow, and lots of pain. And then I finally prayed to Jesus, and I prayed, I speak Jesus over every mountain in my life, my bladder infections, my blood sugar, and also because of all of that, I was depressed for years. And for years I've been on antidepressive medicine. But Wayne still prays for my depression, but I tell him I'm better. I'm better, Wayne. I don't need I don't need you to pray for that anymore, but I'm so happy I'm praising God every day.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah. I like the part where she spoke Jesus over her problem. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, blessings to you today. So glad you can be with us. excuse me. If I seem a little distant today, it is very well calculated. I'm going to admire all of you from a distance. I've been coughing, and I'm just not wanting to share with you. I work in a school with a whole bunch of these little things that are germ factories. All these little child germ factories. And they like to share with me. And they have no problem sharing with me. So actually, I brought myself some water and I forgot to bring it up with me. I always feel guilty sipping in front of you, but that's the way it is today, folks. Sorry. my father-in-law, years ago, Carol's dad, was in church, and I was sipping something, and afterward he told me, you know, that's not fair. He said, you should have somebody with a carton and umbrella going up and down giving people drinks. Glory to God. So we have been talking about pressing into God and what it means to really press into Him, into His presence. We've looked at a lot of examples, but because we have been coming up upon the Thanksgiving holiday, sometimes there's some pressure to stay with the season and share according to that. And I just said, well, Lord, I don't care. I don't necessarily want to stay with convention. I'm going to continue on in whatever you give me. And the Lord said, that's fine, because you're going to share on Thanksgiving this week. So so we are going to talk about Thanksgiving. But you know what? You cannot press into God without a thankful heart. You can't do it. You can't press into God unless you are walking in thank. Oh, there it just came up. What do you know? There we are. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Have you ever prayed that God would show you His will? God, show me Your will. Well, there it is. Give thanks in all circumstances, at all times, no matter what you're going through, the best day, the worst day, it's God's will. And you know, it's really good that we have an annual reminder about thankfulness. It's the same reason that we have communion. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Remind yourself. Don't forget what my sacrifice meant. And it's the same thing with Thanksgiving. It's God's will that we give thanks to Him regardless of what's happening, good or bad. And can I just digress a little bit and say a word about the upcoming holidays? Oh, we're about to plunge into the holiday season. You guys plunged into the holiday season last week. If you go to Walmart, they've been in the holiday season for the last 2 months. We're plunging into the holiday season, and there's this song, oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year. You know what? For some people, it is not the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most depressing time of the year, or it's the most stressful time of the year when they're reminded that maybe they don't have very much money, they don't get to buy presents for people, they don't have anybody around them, they're by themselves. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that comes with the holiday season. And then there's a lot of imposed pressure upon people as to how they should behave, what they should do, how they should act, what they should be doing during this season. And yet, I still love it because it's a celebration of Jesus coming to earth. But lots of you are going to be getting together with family. You just jumped the gun on us all. And you may be getting together with family members that you may or may not see very often much any other time of the year. And it may be wonderful, or it could be a little difficult. Sometimes those relationships are good and sometimes they are a little tough. Sometimes people are a little tough to be around and you're really glad to see them, but you're kind of not glad to see them at the same time. And some of you are nodding your head, you know exactly what I mean. Yeah. And some of your relatives might be still angry about the election. Oh boy, there's a lot of stuff that you can get into. But as Christians, we are called first and foremost to love others. First and foremost, we are called to love other people. Matthew 22, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he follows it up, love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love God. And you cannot say that you love God if you're hating on people. You can't do it. James said, how can you say that you love God whom you haven't seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? You can't do it. So, and ultimately, people want to be loved. They want to be loved. I remember my son Andrew had a friend in college. His name was Adam Miller. And Adam's parents ran a bed and breakfast called the Brownstone Inn. We had the opportunity to go there once. We stayed there when Adam got married. We were invited to his wedding. And we spent some time with Adam's mom and dad. Mark Miller, interesting fellow, and his wife. The sole reason that they run that place is so that they can have people come in and they can love them. It's what he said to me. He said, Dave, I have learned that people just want to be loved. And I watched them while we were there. And the people that came to stay while we were there, they just sort of descended on them and glommed onto them and they loved them. And people enjoyed it. They received it. We're called to love people. Even the most cantankerous, difficult person was created by God in his image and has the capacity to love and be loved. Now, there's some appropriate boundaries. There should be, you know, there with difficult people. But you love them as far as the boundaries go. You don't have to get into their bitterness. You don't have to get into their problem. You can love them through it. Love them in spite of it. Don't get into the arguments. Don't argue over stuff. Love them in spite of it. So as God gives you an opportunity with people in your family or in the holiday season, you see other people, love God, love your neighbor. Go after them. And even the hardest person still wants to be loved, even if they tell you they don't, even if they yell in your face. And it's true. Love them in spite of themselves, as far as you can, with the appropriate boundaries. Nobody needs to be abused, but anyway, love people that everybody wants to be loved, and it's one of the best ways to share the gospel, is to love on people. Anyway, we're talking about thankfulness, and pressing into God. I don't think you can press into God and not be a thankful person. You know, the people who went, and there were people who charged in to see Jesus, and he did incredible things in their lives. And then, what did they do? The Gadarene demoniac, he had a legion of demons. The last thing those demons wanted to do was run to Jesus, but he ran. He ran to him anyway. And when he was delivered, he begged. He said, please, let me follow you. And Jesus said, no. Go back home and tell everybody what God's done for you. That's part of thankfulness. Part of being really thankful is sharing what God has done for you and giving thanks to him publicly. That's why we ask for testimonies in here, because it builds people's faith. It points them toward heaven. And it's an important way to press into what God has for you. And there were times where Jesus did miracles, and then he said, okay, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And they went out and did it anyway. And then it says he couldn't even go out because people were mobbing him. Glory be to his name. When he does something wonderful, thank God publicly for it. Make it known. Share what God has done with you, and it's going to bless your brothers and sisters, and it'll give praise and glory and honor to his name. There was a man once who was incarcerated. He was thrown in prison, and every day as he was in prison, he would hear those guards' footsteps outside of his cell. He never knew if that was going to be the day that the guard was going to come and take him, and he was going to be executed. Never knew if it was going to lead to that. He was in jail at a time where his cell was nothing much more than a bit cold stone floor. He had manacles on his wrists and on his feet that dug into his hands and his wrists and his ankles. He had untreated wounds where they had beaten him and was cut off from his friends and family. He was unjustly jailed, false accusations. And instead of complaining, this prisoner was abounding in praise to God. Abounding in praise to God. That prisoner was the Apostle Paul. Paul was that prisoner. And in one of the times when he was imprisoned, and one of the times when apostles were imprisoned, they began to sing and praise God, even with their wounds, and an earthquake came, and everybody's chains fell off, everybody's cell was opened. Instead of complaining, Paul was able to give thanks and praise. He had learned the meaning of true thanksgiving even in the middle of great adversity. Earlier when he was imprisoned in Rome, he wrote in Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, and mind you, he wrote this in prison. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is what Curtis was talking about this morning. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote that from prison. Wow. And I want to make a clarification. The first verse that we looked at I'm going to back up to it because I'll say it wrong. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give thanks for everything. There was a movement, and the other verse did actually say give thanks for all things, but there was a movement a number of years ago where we were told to pray, we should praise God for everything. Everything, no matter what, no matter how good, no matter how bad. You know, if there was a tidal wave that came and wiped out a village, you were supposed to praise God for it. No, I'm sorry. That's not what this scripture is talking about. In all of your circumstances, lift him up because he is still God in the good, in the bad. He is still God. We don't have to praise God for all things, but we can give thanks no matter what. I've told you about my Grandma Willie, my grandmother. Grandmother Marion Williams, but we knew her as Grandma Willie. You knew my Grandma Willie. What a delightful lady she was. And she was in her 90s when I had opportunity to visit her a lot. And she had plenty of challenges. She had arthritic knees. She would have terrible gallbladder attacks. She had failing eyesight, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you went on. And when you went to see her, she did not give you an organ recital. She did not take you through all of those things. When you showed up at Grandma Willie's house, she'd run to the door. She'd be like, oh, yay. And as soon as I'd get there, she would immediately pepper me with effusive questions about, tell me about what's going on with you. Tell me about the church. Tell me about school. What's happening? And she just was so interested and excited, and she would be so happy about all of the stuff that was happening with me. She would take a personal interest in me. And I would share with her all the things that were happening, and she'd be like, oh, praise God, oh, that's wonderful. And if I shared some things that weren't particularly positive, you know, if there was something difficult, she'd say, well, I'll be talking to the Lord about that. And very interesting, my Grandma Willie, she would talk. She never said she talked with the Lord. She said she talked to the Lord. She's talking to, and this is the lady that started prison ministry in her 90s. You know, she just grabbed her Bible and marched into the prison and started preaching to the prison. And she went into the mail block. She was preaching to the guys. And a bunch of them, after they got out of prison, came and visited her. Freaked me out. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you having these ex-cons come into your house? And she's like, oh, yeah. Well, you probably didn't want to mess with her anyway. But if I asked her about herself and her difficulties, she would just say, oh, I'm all right. And she'd say, nobody wants to visit with somebody who's only just talks about all their problems anyway. Well. So she wasn't going to share about that. She was a thankful, grateful person who took a personal interest in other people. If she had real needs, she'd talk about it, but it wasn't the center of her world. Thankfulness and others were her emphasis. That has been such an example to me in my life as I remember that. Oh, nothing will turn us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart that only centers on me, myself, and I and my problems. And nothing will restore the joy of your salvation and real contentment than a true spirit of thankfulness, thanksgiving. Father, thank you. Thank you. You know, some days I'm tempted as I'm repairing things in my house to feel like, oh, this thing broke. You know, and I got another leak in a ceiling tile in my house. And I sat in my house the other day and I said, God, I live in a palace. I live in a palace. Nicer than most people in the world today. Thank you, Jesus. I have a warm house. I had food today. I have lights on in my house. I have this. I have, wow. Tempted to complain. You know, in our society, ingratitude is just way too common. We live in an entitled culture. I am entitled, me, myself, and I. And I deserve it. But, you know, the truth is, and let's just say it, ingratitude is sin. It is. Ingratitude is sinful. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. Unthankfulness. An ungrateful heart is a heart that's cold toward God. So if you're not, I don't know how you can feel like you've got a good relationship with God and be a grumping, complaining, unthankful person. It just can't happen. The scripture abounds with encouragement to give thanks. Psalm 147:7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music on the harp to our God. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. For to this you were called as members of one body, and be thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. Oh, if you can go out of this place today and your heart is full of thankfulness to God, it's going to infect everybody around you. It's going to touch people's lives. You're going to be grateful and thankful. Your spirit, when it's positive, people notice it. That's the Holy Spirit coming out of you, and it's going to touch other people. I had a lady at our school years ago, and she was a grump. She just was a grump. Grump, grump, grump. And she was not very friendly, and I went out of my way to be positive around her. You know, it talks about heaping coals of fire on somebody's head. Oh, I would find her, and I'd say, good morning, how are you? Well, I hope you have a good day. Well, I won't. Well, I said, I'm going to pray that it gets better. Good morning. What's good about it? This is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, Mr. Williams, you're a positive person, huh? I said, well, yeah. That lady never for years had come to any of my students' concerts. She was a teacher at the school. She never showed up for anything. She never helped with anything. She didn't come see her kids on the stage that she was teaching all year long for years and years and years and years. I went after that lady, and I did my best to befriend her, to be kind to her, to bless her. And all of a sudden, one year, one concert, who walks in to help stand the kids up, get them in line? There she was. And the principal was like, Dave, that is a miracle. And she came to several concerts after that. Why? Because somebody was kind to her and was thankful. You know, I say, you're doing a great job. Even when I was a little like, oh, because she was doing it. She did work through a lot of stuff. And there was a way to bring blessing. And she started coming. And you know, her heart and her attitude began to change. God can do it even with the crustiest people. So how do we do this? How do we give thanks in all circumstances? Well, part of it is just doing it. Making a decision that I'm going to be thankful today instead of worry today, instead of complain today. I'm going to remember the goodness of God. I'm going to look back at my life, at all of the altars where God met me. You know why they made those altars, right? So they would remember the goodness of God. Remind yourself of what God has done. The problem is we forget about it. When we get into the next crisis, we forgot that 2 years ago, God helped you through an incredible difficulty. Remind yourself of what God has done. Don't forget. Thank God for the material blessings. You can start with that he's given you. First Chronicles 29. I'm sorry if these are... Can you read these screens? I try to make them big. I hope they're clear enough, but sometimes I go a little heavy into the scriptures. Both riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler over all. In your hands are power and might to exalt and give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give generously as this? For everything comes from you, and from your own hand we have given to you. You know, we're only giving back what God already gave to us. When we give, we're just giving back something that God already gave to us. Oh, glory to God. Give thanks for the things that he's been given, that he has blessed you with. Billy Graham recounts a story about how he went to visit a wealthy businessman. This guy was super successful, super rich, and he was the envy of all of his friends. Very successful man. And as Billy Graham sat with him and they talked, the man broke down and began to cry and shared with him how miserable he was. And this guy, he had everything, and he was miserable. Then a couple hours later, Billy Graham was in a house with another guy, a little cottage, and this guy didn't have hardly anything. He didn't have hardly a thing to his name, lived very humble life. And as they talked, this man was radiating and effusive about how God was working in him and what he was doing in his ministry and how he was reaching out to people for Jesus. And the stark contrast of those two things was not lost on Billy Graham, who was the really rich person. Who was the rich person? The thankful man. The man who was alive in his spirit. And even though he didn't have a lot, God was at work in his life. He was the one who was rich. Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So my question to you and I is, are you preoccupied with what you don't have? Or do you give thanks? Are you giving thanks to God for what you've got and how he's blessed you? It's too easy to always think about what you don't have. I wish I had this. How about, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all of the things that I have. Thank you for all the blessings. Number two, I want, and this can be a little tougher sometimes. Thank God for the people in your life. Even the difficult ones. Oh, yeah. Do you know that God will allow difficult people to come into your life on purpose? God will allow difficult people to come into your life on purpose. And you know why? There are a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, so that you can minister to them, so that you can reach out to them, so that you can love them. And number two, so that God can use even the difficult people. I've had difficult people that in my job and where in my family. And what it has done is it has given me the opportunity to love them through it. It's taught me how to forgive. And I just blanked out on my third thing. Number three, stuff when I'm around difficult people comes out of me that God wants to deal with. Stuff comes out of me that's ugly, and God deals with it. Thank God for the people in your life. You've got people who are a blessing. You may have people, that have family and friends, the body of Christ here. You guys are a blessing. give thanks. Paul said, I always thank my God for you because of the grace he has given you in Christ Jesus. People, they used to say in school, teachers would say, I would love my job if it wasn't for the kids. You know, especially on days where the kids didn't behave very well. But people are a blessing to us. People are a blessing to us, either as they bless us or as we give out and bless them and reach out to them. Very, very important that we always look at people in that light and never look at them as a problem. Sometimes people are a problem. Sometimes they make trouble for you. But can you be thankful for them? And can you pray for them? And can it give you the opportunity. My life has turned around. My attitude has turned around more times than I can think of when instead of being mad at somebody, I start to pray for them. Oh! And God changes my whole outlook and attitude, and all of a sudden I'm not upset anymore. All of a sudden I can be positive again. I can believe God. Mm. Glory to God. Glory to his name. Thank God in the middle of difficulties. Oh boy. James 1, 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Some of your Bibles say patience. When you go through stuff, when you go through things, and you walk through it with Jesus, it makes you stronger. It makes you better. It helps you to believe him more. It helps you build your faith. I don't know, how many more adjectives can I put out there? Of what it does for you when you walk through the fire with Jesus, it's going to change your life. And we can thank him in the middle of difficulties. You know, when Daniel learned that evil men were plotting against him, you know, in Babylon, they were plotting to get rid of him. And so they made an edict and said that nobody can pray to anybody except to the ruler of the people there. And it says, Daniel, three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before, right in the middle of the most difficult thing. There is Daniel praising God. In a foreign country where Israel had been carried off, the temple destroyed, they're deported, everything is terrible, Daniel is down on his knees giving thanks to God, even in the middle of his enemies coming against him. I don't know what the difficulty is that you may be facing right now, but God does. God knows it. And he loves you and is with you by his Spirit. Cultivate that thankfulness. And when you're in difficulty, the best thing you can do is put on your garment of praise. I was having a tough time at school, and my wife texted me and she said, turn on some praise and worship music. She said, start worshiping God. Sing this song. It was the best advice she could have given me. Because, you know, if you put on your garment of praise, it means you got to take the other yucky one off. Get rid of the crud clothes. Get rid of the grump clothes. And then you put it on. And don't put your garment of praise on over it. Toss one off and put the other one on. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah 61:3, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Oh, glory to his name. When it gets tough, start telling God how great he is. Start worshiping him. Start believing him. Sing his praises. It says he inhabits the praises of his people. You need Jesus to come and intervene. Start praising him. Oh, especially when it's difficult. Thank God for your salvation. Do you know how easy it is when you get in trouble to forget that you're saved? If you've invited Jesus into your life, you've turned from the old man, your sins are gone. They're gone. How can we ever have another bad day? How can we ever have another bad day? Some days I want to just slap myself across the face. Stop. Stop complaining. You're saved. Your sins are gone. You're going to be in heaven forever. Yeah, but my car wouldn't start this morning. Stop it. Stop it. When it says David encouraged himself in the Lord, I think sometimes maybe it meant he gave himself a crack across the face. At least that's what I need. Oh, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, your sins are gone. If you haven't, then the greatest gift awaits you. Invite him into your life. Turn from the old man. Turn from your old sinful life and give your life to him, and your sins are gone. You've got new life in Christ. Jesus will transform your life. And lastly, we're going to finish up with this. Oh, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Glory to his name. And lastly, thank God for his continued presence and power in your life. When we come to Christ, it's not the end. It's not the finish line. It's the start of the race. It's the beginning of a whole new life. And we don't have the strength in ourselves to live the way that God wants us to do, but we've got a promise. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you by his Holy Spirit, as Curtis said this morning, being filled with the Spirit, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What do you think of that? It's God is going to work in you to will and to do for his purpose. He's going to continue to help you. He's going to walk through stuff with you. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Oh, glory to God. He's going to walk through the fire with you. He'll walk through the best times. He'll walk through the worst times. And we can set aside a day for Thanksgiving every year, but for the Christian, every single day can be thanksgiving and praise to God. And if you do that, it's going to change the way you talk, it's going to change the way you act, and it's going to change people around you. Who doesn't want to be around a joyful, happy person? Well, somebody who wants to be. But I'm telling you, you be that happy, joyful person, and people will be attracted to you because of the Jesus in you. I remember, I don't know who it was that said, some famous preacher said, if you get on fire for God, people will come from miles around just to watch you burn. You know, and they will. You'll be a thankful, joyful person, and people are going to come from everywhere to want to taste and see that the Lord is good. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Have we got plenty to thank him for every single day of our lives, every breath? We can thank him, praise him, and press in. And you want to be that Christian that's bubbling with the life of Christ and going to affect other people. I remember one time I was down on the street. We were out street witnessing, and it was late at night. We were outside of the bars, and as people were coming out, we were preaching the gospel, and I was tired, and I was not feeling great, and I kind of wanted to go home, and it was cold, and it showed on my face. And my friend that was down there, he was like, Dave, would you quit frowning? People aren't going to see Jesus in you if you're frowning. Stop it. And I was like, oh, boy. Okay, smack. Come on, Dave. Put on the garment of praise. Get it on, put it on, and people are going to see it. They're going to recognize it. Glory to his name. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. God, We don't ever have to have another bad day, even if things are tough. Paul was able to rejoice in prison, being beaten with rods in his back and with shackles on his hands and feet. But his spirit was free. And God, I pray today that you would help us to have spirits that are really free in Christ, grateful, thankful people. Oh, God, help us to be one people who have that fountain inside of us, that thankful, grateful spirit where we wear our garment of praise wherever we go. God, empower us with that. We pray that by your spirit you would give us grace to overcome that tendency of our flesh to want to complain, to want to get down, to want to see things the glass half empty or the glass full empty. Father, but Father, we can see the glass is full to overflowing by the hand of our God. Father, help us to be ones that are overflowing with thanksgiving. God, we know that you're able to do it, and we thank you that you work in us to will and to do for your good purpose. Help us to walk out of here today and share the joy of our salvation with everyone around us. Thankful, grateful people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, I will not pray for you. But there are some people who will pray for you. So if you have a need, we do believe in healing, and we believe that God can touch you. Please, if you need prayer, come now. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Oh, and Denise is waving her hand. Go ahead. Community Thanksgiving service at the Salvation Army tonight at 6 o'clock.
And I want to thank everybody for their prayer suggestions.
Yes. Well, the last we heard, he was unconscious and in cardiac arrest in the emergency room. And went through the prayer chain, and he came out. He came back, and then they were praying that he would regain consciousness. Did he regain consciousness?
He still has heart problems.
He's alive. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't get near me.
I